Let's go straight to the golden ring. Are you ready? Watch your breath. Put your mind at your nose. Watch your breath. Picture a room with sunlight pouring in, golden sunlight, like molten gold, like an orangey deep color. You can look out the window and see blue sky. Picture your teacher sitting in front of you. Your own heart teacher, whoever that is. Just stay content in their presence, not doing anything, not saying anything. Just sitting in a golden room with your teacher, quietly, silently, in each other's presence. The object of this meditation is the feeling of being in their presence. Back to their presence. And slowly come back to this room. You can open your eyes. So please get out your poster. So, Yesterday we left it at, Gyundi Jopa, which was the first cook in the world. Can you see? Right here. And a couple more comments about that. We said that first starting to meditate, Sanjopa, was triggered by what? I mean, what was the impetus for that? Yeah, learning from your teacher, okay? We can say, you could call the six powers, maybe you could call them the six impetai or something. Impetuses, okay? But it's what got you to do your first meditation. Do you have a poster? You should. We'll hang it up higher after this class. Okay? Okay, so we're on the first bend in the road on the left. The Mars got his two instruments waving, right? And that's Gyundi Jopa, meaning that's the point where you first have some continuity on the offering, right? That's achieved by a different impetus called Sanpeto. Say Sanpeto. Sanpeto. So that's as opposed to Tepeto. Okay? Tepa means learning. And then sampa means contemplation. And that's part of a threefold educational process in Buddhism called Te Sam Gom Sum. Okay, say Te Sam Gom Sum. So in ancient times, traditional method of learning was first Tepa, Shruti, which means you listen to your teacher's instructions, right? Then sampa means you go home and you think about them. It's called contemplation. So the difference between tipa and sampa is tipa is you get the transmission from your teacher in a classroom. They give you the hearing. And then sampa means you go home and you start thinking about it. So sampa is a you're starting to get self-motivated. Sampa is where the line between tipa and sampa is where you start policing yourself. And doing your study at home on yourself, by yourself, okay? So, the second, by the time of this first bend in the road on the left, number nine, by the time of number nine there, you are self-running, okay? Your meditation's going, you're at home. You're not at the classroom anymore, and it's running on your own, okay? So that's why it's called Sanpeto. By that time, the impetus that's keeping you running is your own practice at home. Okay? Home practice. And I think home practice is one of the things that most attracted me about Buddhism when I first met it in India. I think the idea that a lot of the, how do you say, you know, I grew up in a church and you only practiced on Sunday for a brief period, maybe an hour. And it was very beautiful and it was very moving and I loved it very much. I still like it. But what attracted me when I first met the Tibetans was that you could set up your own altar in your house. And you didn't have to have an intermediary between you and the boss. You know, you could do your own practices and you could do your own rituals at home. And so Sampa in this context means you are now on your own, at home, practicing. And in most of these practices, until you get to the point where you can do your practice at home, self-motivated, to be self-motivated, you won't succeed, okay? You need to get to the point. Also, your yoga has to get to the point where you are self-policing. You know, you have to get to a point where you don't have to go to a class every day. You know, it's good to go to a class. It's really, really good to go to a class. And you get a lot of new ideas and you get a lot of input. But pretty early in your practice, you have to become self-running, right? Do you remember Dzogchen-sangha? Which came after Sa-sangha, which came after Ne-sangha, which came after Lekpa-nyepa? Nye-lawa. What are those? Nye-lawa. Say Nye-lawa.
Yeah.
What is that? Ne-sangha,
Sa-sangha,
Dzogchen-sangha, Neldorke Yoche. What are those? First one, Lekne, means you should be in a place where it's easy to find, honestly attained. These are the qualities of a good meditation spot.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
We did them a long time ago. So, Lekne means you should be able to find resources for your practice, and they should be not ill-gotten. They shouldn't involve violence or dishonesty towards another person or creature. Okay, so these are just basic meditation support system. Should be a place where you have food and you have things that are not stolen or killed or okay. Nyelawa. Then the second one was Nesawa, I think. Nesawa is the place should be a good place, meaning what? It should have been blessed by the presence of holy beings. Okay? Or at least the text said shouldn't have been cursed by people who broke their vows there, or caused a schism in the Sangha, for example, there, or some kind of bad event there. It shouldn't be a place where something bad came down. So the place you choose for your meditation should be a place, if you can find a place which has been blessed by the presence of other retreatants, like I was in Mongolia doing some practices, and I was in a hermitage in the mountains, and people have been doing meditation there for hundreds of years, and you could feel it, right? So they say at least avoid a bad place, okay? I think in America we're mostly new places now. Like Diamond Mountain is just getting to feel different, but it'll take time. It'll take a couple of generations maybe. So Ne-sama, and then Sa-sama, you know? A good place, a good area, in the sense of what? Shouldn't be too cold. Shouldn't be too hot. You know, you should have hot water. The toilet should work. You know, stuff like that. But mainly it's that it shouldn't be out of the range of comfortable living of a human being. It shouldn't be so cold that you get sick. It shouldn't be so hot that you can't concentrate. Sa-sama. Then I was talking about Dzogchen-sangha. What's Dzogchen-sangha? Dzogpo. What's Dzog? That was included in the last one. Yeah, he said correctly, it shouldn't be a place where you have bears breaking into your cabin, scorpions crawling over your bed. Doksawa means good friends, right? You should have good meditation companions. And what did this mean? Yeah, who said it? Yeah, they should be heavyweights. Okay. The text said, looks like mafia from the corner of your eye. You know, you walk into a restaurant and there's a mafia guy there, and I was in a tea house in Japan, and the Yakuza guys walked in, and you don't go like this, you know? You drink your tea and you kind of like, you watch them, but you don't stare at them, because then you get a tattoo. But anyway, so in the text it means you should have meditation companions. It says very good. It said especially beginners, and it said at least three of you together would be good. But then it said they should be heavyweights, right? They should be serious people. Serious, hard, I like to call it hardcore practitioners. And if they're not, then they're just going to waste your time. You know, they're going to drag you down. They had a rule in my coach. I played tennis in high school. There was a debate whether it was a varsity sport or not, because it was too wimpy. Then the coach, during season, the coach had a rule that you were not allowed to play tennis with anyone who wasn't better than you. It was a rule. You know, especially not girls. He just had a rule that if you played anybody, you had to play somebody better than you during the season, you know. And it's kind of like that with meditation. You shouldn't be meditating with people who are not serious. It's good to meditate with others, but if they're not disciplined and they're not working hard, then they're going to just make you lazy, you know. So when I say home practice, it's good to do home. You must learn to do home practice, and hopefully you could make a connection with some people that you could meditate with, that you could practice with. But what I wanted to say was, don't wait for them. You know, like you could say, let's meet at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, and if they're not there by 9:05, then start meditating. Okay, and if they're consistently not show up, then just stop and do it on. You know, you have to be self-running. Okay? You have to, in the end, you have to self-run your yoga, your meditation, and your study. And you can't wait for other people. And your book. Okay? Even if nobody else is doing their book, you get out your book and you do it. Okay. While we're on the subject, what was the last one? Nyanjorki Yoche. Huh? Yeah. You need your... Nyanjor means yogi. You need your yogi stuff. Yogi stuff. Yogi stuff means your poster with the notes on it. Okay? You need your notes. Okay? That's why the teacher went through the whole class thing, was that you would be prepared. So the yogi's necessities or yogi's, what do you call it? Yoje can mean furniture in a house. It can mean your clothes. It's the stuff you need to be what you are. So yogi stuff is your training, and you have to have with you your reference, your notes, your poster, what you learn, and it has to be ready. Someone has to have trained you, and that's the last, I think it's five, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I missed one, but I don't think so. Okay, so we were at Gyunji Jopa. And what I wanted to say was, so you have, by this time, that is achieved by self-motivated practice. Right? Is this more irritating for you to hear my, or should I clip it on here and you can't hear me? You like the clip thing? Let's have a vote. How many go for the clip? All right. Problem is, I find myself talking like this. Okay, we'll go for the clip. I have this theory that the big exhalation things wake people up. Now we're ready to talk about the first of the four modes. Okay, the states of mind. Okay, we had 9 levels, 6 powers. 4 states of mind, 5 problems, 8 fixes. Okay. So now we got to our first state of mind. The first two of the nine levels are achieved by something called Dimde Jukpa. Say Dimde
Jukpa.
Dimde
Jukpa.
Dim is a tough word in Tibet. Dim means there's no English word that's exact. It means focused, concentrated conscious effort. Concentrated conscious effort. Okay, dim. Okay, dim. Dim de jukpa means the first two levels require some sort of concentrated effort on your part to get into them. Okay, so to get to the place where you are on the object like a fly, or you are on the object briefly, those first two levels require some rather gross and, what do you call it, considerable mental effort. Okay, it's not at all natural, and it's not at all fun, and it's not at all a flow. Like, for the first two levels, when you're starting your meditation, it's like starting a cold car. Okay? It's like it's gonna take some work to get your mind down into meditation. So Dzimde Jukpa means engaging only with difficulty or something like that. Engaging only with difficult concentration. It's an effort to get started. That's a Mayingar. That implies something later, which is what? Yeah, later it's gonna become much more easy. You know? Be more of a, what do you call that? In the groove or flow. Okay. Alright. I'm gonna go back to the poster. Yeah, go on. So I'm at number 10. Dine. Oh, gone. Okay, Dine Sunte means I'm at number 10, okay? The elephant has a yarmulke on. Alright? That's very significant. It says Dine Sunte from this point on. Go kar che rinki pelwa. De sel chabang ne cha je pel joa. Okay. So, but the Tibetan is very, what do you call it? They over-inked it? You can't read it. It says, from this point on, the head of the elephant will start to become more white. Okay, the blackness will recede from the elephant's head. And that represents that two qualities of meditation are increasing at this point. Say, selcha, necha. Selcha, necha. I'll start with necha. Okay, necha means fixation. Your ability to keep your mind on the object. Okay, your ability to stay on the object. And then selcha means clarity. Okay, the condition of cha means condition. Okay, sel means clear. Like ozel means clear light. Right. And then ne means to stay. So necha is pretty basic, just that you're still on the object, all right? The mind is still on the object. In the first two levels, I like this. This is good for me. In the first two levels of, I think I have some seed for this in my past life. In the first two levels of meditation, is the necha more or less? And off, and see, less, right? So the time off the object is more than the time on the object. So necha is there, but it's not much. Okay. Then selcha means clarity. It's a very common error in the study of meditation that people mistake clarity to mean the clearness of the object. So Richard talked yesterday about the clarity of the face. And he said it got fuzzy at points. That's not what this clarity means. Okay, there is that clarity, with meaning how clear is the object, right? But in the study of meditation, when you talk about clarity, you're talking about the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed nature of the attention, the quality of the attention. So it's a quality of the attending mind and not a quality of the object, you see? So you're not saying, do you see your teacher's eyes? Do you see your teacher's eyebrow hairs? Or do you see their irises? It doesn't mean that. Selcha, clarity, in the study of meditation means, is your mind like engaged and happy and fresh? Okay, I like to call it freshness sometimes. Is your mind like fresh and perky? Perky? Okay, on the object. You have selcha when you're reading your favorite book, a really good book. A page turner has selcha. What they call, you can't stop reading. You have to keep turning pages, right? You stay up to 2 a.m. reading the book. There's this selcha. There's this brightness of the mind. Or when you're looking at your favorite movie or stuff like that. Okay, those are like selcha. So at this point, at point number 10, the necha and the selcha are getting stronger. And the head is turning white. The blackness is receding. What was the blackness of the elephant? Dullness. Okay? So selcha and necha are fighting the dullness here. Okay? Okay, I'm going to go on to number 11, then we're going to meditate a bit. Number 11 says... Do you... Let me see how I translate it. Do you not gupe yotsen? Do you not gupe yotsen? So, say do you not. Do yin means gupe, yin den means kama guna, means objects of the senses. Okay, objects of the senses. With a negative connotation. Dupa means attached to the Starbucks coffee or something. Dupa means desire. Okay, so objects of the senses, but with a negative connotation. Like attachment to taste, attachment to sounds, like over-attachment to music, over-attachment to donuts. That's a duyin. Okay, so duyin na means the part. And then, gupa means, agitation. But in a special sense, which was? Towards something you want. Towards something you like. Okay? So you can also get agitated mentally about someone you don't like, but that's not what agitation means in the study of meditation. Okay? So agitation. So doing the five objects of the senses with regard to, meditation as objects to which your senses will be drawn away from your object of meditation. So try to meditate with someone sticking McDonald's french fries under your nose. You know? It's not possible. Like they talk about, what's this? Da samtengi tsema. What's that mean? Da samtengi tsema yin. What's da? Da chichen. Yeah. Sam? Something? Meditation? Tsema means cactus thorn. We had it. Okay? What's that mean? Da samtengi tsema. What's the sentence mean? Yeah, sounds are the cactus thorn of meditation, meaning they ruin your meditation automatically. As if someone opened the door while we were meditating. By the way, if you come late to meditation, don't open the door until you see us break the meditation, okay? Or just don't come late, it's better. In the monastery, they use an electric cord, okay? And I'll tell you, don't feel good. Okay, so anyway. So what he's saying is that this is cool, okay? He's got traditional representations of the five objects of the senses, which you normally see in tankas as being offered to the lama in the picture. Okay? But he's ripped them off of that context and put them in this context. It's kind of cool. So here you have it in the Heart Sutra, right? Sugme, what is it? Sugme, Dhamme, Chime, Rome, Rechame, Chimedo, right? Sugman, Dharma, Timi. Sugman means the mirror represents, because a mirror reflects all the visible objects in the world. You turn a mirror on anything and then that object jumps into the glass, right? So the mirror represents attractive objects of the eye. Okay? Like, don't meditate, don't put an altar cloth on your altar that looks like that with the paisley and then meditate in front of it, you know? Because there's this thing, you kind of crack your eyes and then suddenly this paisley is jumping at you, okay? And then the mind goes to that object. You see, the mind, if in front of your eyes you have a, some people meditate better with their eyes half open, okay? Like they go like this and they look down. But if you're going to try it that way, which can be good if you tend to get sleepy, okay? Do that, but put a very plain colored object, solid color in front of your eyes. And because if there's any kind of a design, then your eye will be caught. And that's the meaning of the mirror, okay? The eye being caught by visible things, okay? Then these are ting shot. Say ting shot. What's ting shot? Ding. Those things on string. Ding. Those are ting shot, okay? So they got two ting shots here. Which is object. They're going in the heart sutra way, right? Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. Eyes, ear. Where is nose? Oh, right here, okay. Yeah. There's a conch cell. Right around number 16. Right above number 16, there's a conch cell. And in Tibet, it's traditional to put water in it and put saffron in the water. Okay, in the opening of the conch shell. So that represents what? Aromas or fragrances. I find smells more distracting than sound. You know, there's some meditation centers I know that prohibit perfume, for example. I find it, or donuts. We were doing, we did a hot yoga class in where? Taipei. And it's just over a youjiao shop, which is like a Chinese Dunkin' Donuts. And it just seeps through the floor. And you can't concentrate. Okay. At least I can't concentrate. Then these are two peaches. Okay. Kambu. And it means taste. Okay. Distraction by taste. Personally, I like to brush my teeth before I meditate. You know, if you eat something sweet and then you meditate, it can actually distract you, I think. And then this is called a nambu. Nambu means a bolt of Varanasi silk. Okay, which would mean what? Yeah, your objects of the touch. Okay, so those are the five objects of the senses. Okay, he's put them in the picture. And these represent potential candidates for agitation. Potential candidates for agitation. Those five objects of the senses. Yeah. A bolt of silk to the left of number 10. So, I think hopefully you're withdrawn from the center, senses. Pratyahara, right? Hopefully your mind is withdrawn from the objects of the senses during meditation. If they're not, then you're going to get distracted. Okay? Your mind will go. Could they be yikiyo? Could they be dharma dhatu? What's dharma dhatu? Dharma dhatu is the object of the mind. Right? These are the objects of the five senses. Dharma dhatu is the object of the sixth sense, which is the mind. Could these exist in the dharma dhatu? Yeah, there's a famous thing, you know. All physical objects are divided into two. The outside ones and then the imagined ones. So if you're dreaming about a maple-covered donut, that's also... okay, got it? These objects of the senses, it doesn't mean you're smelling french fries during meditation. If you're thinking about the taste of a Whopper, then that also will distract you to the Dharma Dhatu sense objects, the ones that are just imagined. All right, we're going to do a little meditation. First, we have to play a symphony. Watch your breath. The mind is tied to the breath and nothing else. There's no other connection to any other object. Go to the golden room. The feeling of the light is very soft, friendly, warm, like a Christmas tree or something. See the sky, the blue sky out the window. And see the mountains across the valley. art teacher comes to sit with you. And you look up into their face. And your eyes meet. Now just stay there. Be satisfied, be happy, be contented with nothing more than that. Just their eyes on your eyes with love. And stay quiet and contented in their golden room. Just be content to stay with your teacher's eyes. You don't need anything more. This is sustenance for your mind and body. And then slowly come out. You can open your eyes. It's good, you're doing good. You feel a concentration, right? Feels good in the room. I will just keep going deeper and deeper and more frequent, okay? Generally, if you can't sit in a room quietly for 5 minutes without doing anything, you're going to have trouble meditating, okay? And it's a modern disease, right? I don't know if it's a modern, maybe it's always been that way, but people are just hyper, you know? I think computers have really, you know, I was one of the first people to buy, I bought a laptop, an army laptop. It had two floppy disk drives. One had the program, one had the data. And it was $5,000. And I'm not sure they're a good thing. But anyway, we have to balance that with meditation, you know. So generally, if you can reach a point where you can sit in a room quietly by yourself without picking up a book or turning on the internet or listening to music, or can you just sit quietly in a room by yourself for even just 5 minutes and just be content in it and enjoy your life? And not in a lazy way, okay? Not like in a, what do you call it? Lassitude or something. You know, not laying around, but bright and engaged and happy and present, without a laptop or, you know, cell phone. That's a sign that your meditation is getting better, okay? And if you can't do that just on a normal basis, you're not going to be meditating well. I don't think so. Also, the condition of your room reflects your meditation. We went to China. We went to Zhuhai. And we went to a special school. And they want to put the diamond cutter into the universities. Beijing University and Normal University and some other universities. They want to put diamond cutter courses. Then they showed us the psychiatry department, psychology department. Right? And they had sandboxes. And I've never seen them. They're waist-high boxes, and they have sand in them. And then on the wall there are shelves of toy soldiers, dinosaurs, little Buddhas, you know, SpongeBob, everything that you could imagine, you know, and little houses and trees. And then children come in, and they can contour the sand any way they want. And then they go to the wall, and there's thousands of little figurines. And then they take, like, the army guys, or they take cars, and then they build a scene in the sandbox, and it's a therapy.
Yeah.
And Christine Walsh was very familiar with it, and so they were, like, freaked out because they were very impressed. But they had photos of all the children standing in front of their own creation, and it was just like seeing somebody's room. You walk into someone's house, and you say, "Where's your room?" And they show you to their room. And then you can see the state of their meditation in the sandbox of their room. You know, if everything's just random and scattered around, you know, then the state of mind is that. It's a reflection of your state of mind. It's a sandbox. Your room is a sandbox, right? So, I mean, my teacher comes into my house, and they just start picking up things. You know, like for 20 minutes, it's just this thing where they're putting things away, picking up things, cleaning things. And, it, you know, when I studied dance, modern dance, Zeva Khan, so she would not teach the class if there was anything in the room. She would leave, and you had to pay for the class. So if there was a purse against the wall or a t-shirt hanging somewhere, she would take your money and leave. You know, and, So these are ways that you can tell how your meditation is. What's the condition of your room? And do you have the capacity to sit for 5 minutes still, quiet, engaged, and not do anything else? Okay. Then these are little measurements of how your mind state is.